Thank you for that really nice introduction. As Ms. Zoeckler said, I just finished the W.K. Kellogg Health Scholars Program at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And my area, my substantive area, is not in occupational health. I was actually doing obesity prevention and nutrition among Latino immigrants for most of my graduate work. Because I wanted to learn CBPR, that was the goal of this particular postdoc, and I went to the different community-based organizations in Baltimore, a more pressing need was occupational health injuries. And the new growing population of Latino, Latina immigrants in Baltimore, there aren't enough services for them there. And so I decided to take on this project. And my community mentor in this program was Abdel Pierda Martel, and he's going to be co-presenting with me because he was also very much intricate in this project in terms of creating our research design and our analysis. We have no disclosures to report, and we uploaded a little bit of a funky presentation, so I'll jump to the acknowledgments just in case we run out of time. First, we'd like to thank the staff and the clients at Casa de Maryland who trusted us so much to come into the community and to do work with them, the Johns Hopkins Education and Research Center for Occupational Safety and Health. They provide us with some seed money, and of course, the W.K. Kellogg Health Scholars Program. So in terms of the outline, we'll talk a little bit about the history of our partnership, how it started, how I entered the picture, the background, the scientific background for this particular project, the overall aims of the larger project, but what we will present on specifically today, the method, the description of the sample, the psychosocial stressors that the immigrant Latino-Latina workers identified and the conditions that they believe cause these stressors at work, limitations of our study, and then, of course, implications for policy advocacy and training. Okay, Abdel.
Good morning. So one of the existing partnerships with Occupational Health Needs was with us at Casa de Maryland, and where I work is one of the largest community Latino advocacy organizations in Maryland. Particularly working in the Baltimore Worker Center, is a place where we provide safe haven for day laborers so they are not out exposed to the elements, and also kind of help them provide, meet employers and give them like a contract where they go out and they have like a certain wage where they are guaranteed paid, you know, a good, you know, salary. One of the things that we notice a lot about our clients is that they come in and maybe they have been injured at a job, or, you know, they have an illness, so that they're getting through that so they can't have a steady job. So this is a place where they usually come also in the interim. One of the partnerships that I formed early was with Bienestar, which is a health science students group that does outreach for health for Latino, Latinas, and then our community. So they came to our center and they started giving, you know, just basic information about basic health, but started noticing that, you know, our clients had, you know, these injuries, and, you know, they were after, you know, how they come back and just kind of talk to these students. So we just kind of finally decided that, you know, try to change a little bit of the focus of what it was. So we started in 2009, 2010, we started providing equipment, PPE, for the workers. But after that, what we started noticing that, you know, in our center, we saw a change in who we had. We had more women. We have, you know, just a very different group of folks coming in. And as the recession started, we had a larger group of folks. So, you know, we just had to better understand that we need to make a needs assessment evaluation. Effectiveness of our PPE program, and also Johns Hopkins Education Resource Center, NIOSH, who provided no substantive health and leadership.
Okay, so that's a picture. That's a picture of the Worker Center.
Right. This picture just kind of shows a lot of our workers who just come in. You know, they line up and just kind of early in the morning. You know, they form a list and who will go out to work. But this is kind of essentially how our Worker Center looks.
So one thing I think that Abdel mentioned is that, so when I was even looking for projects to work with Latinos, a lot of the faculty at Hopkins don't collaborate with the Latino immigrant community because they're a growing community and there aren't that many Spanish-speaking even healthcare providers or researchers at Hopkins. But the students had a really good connection to the community, so they were providing charlas not just at CASA but at different organizations, and they managed to get a small Schweitzer fellowship to start this PPE program, but they didn't have anyone who had enough research skills to actually start a needs assessment, and that's when I decided to take on this project because people trusted CASA, so it was easy to access members of the community who were workers and to also to see how effective the PPE was. But part of the problem was that the PPE that they distributed was what, the N95 mask, earplugs, and safety glasses. So, but people weren't only doing things in construction or machinery. People were also doing a lot of domestic work. People were working, and it was men and women doing this work because they change between jobs so frequently. They don't consistently have a job. They go between construction, service job, cleaning, within short periods of time. So they wanted to know what other jobs are people doing, not just from the worker center, but outside, because then we could better distribute the PPE. Okay, so as much as, so CASA is saying, okay, most of our clients are getting injuries. They're coming in here, you know, with an injury, or they're getting an injury from a job. So then I had no idea, like, about occupational health. And when I started doing the literature, I was really amazed to see that foreign-born Latinos have such a high rate of work-related deaths, that they have the highest rates in the U.S., even in comparison to U.S. Americans, whites, and to U.S.-born Latinos. But then what made it harder for this project was that I was trying to look for local data, any data about Latinos' health conditions or work conditions in the state of Maryland or in Baltimore, and there's little to no baseline data for Latinos in their health, in terms of health or their work conditions. And as Abdel mentioned, with that there's been a lot of economic changes in Baltimore. It's still one of the poorest, it is the poorest city in the state of Maryland. However, there's been this boost in the 2000s to develop areas like the Inner Harbor and Harbor East, so it's created a lot of temporary work with both contractors to build, but also mostly services like this, even conference services. So there's a lot of folks that are hired to provide services. So they're a lot different than the other projects that have been done with Latino and Latina immigrants in more rural settings, like farm workers and construction workers. So it brings another dimension to this, that, you know, these people are primarily providing service or do a combination of construction and service work in an urban setting. And the reason why we're presenting what we're presenting today out of this occupational health needs assessment is that when we did focus groups with both workers and with leaders in the community, the workers were really... They went beyond their injury. They didn't just talk about what were the physical and environmental issues that caused their injury. They also talked about the labor, the regulatory, and the organizational conditions that caused their injury. So that's why we want to focus on this today. And in looking at the research, there's been more research on occupational psychosocial stressors that result from organizational conditions. And there has been some specifically about Latinos looking at stress, anxiety, and depression, but again, mostly in construction and agriculture. So the overall aims of the needs assessment, again, because we didn't have a lot of baseline data, we didn't really understand what other jobs Latino and Latina immigrants were doing in Baltimore, we decided to do a CBPR exploratory qualitative study. The first goal was to identify the occupational health needs and what are the safety hazards that this population faces in Baltimore, and then also to identify what are economic, political, and social barriers to achieving occupational health at work or general health. And we also sought recommendations from both the Latino-Latina immigrant workers that participated in the study and, of course, the labor community and government leaders that we interviewed as key informants. But the goal of today's presentation specifically is to present the labor market, organizational, and regulatory conditions that the workers themselves identified as producing psychosocial stressors in Baltimore or in the jobs that they do in Baltimore. So in terms of recruitment, we recruited primarily from a large pool of clients that go to CASA. So we didn't just recruit from the worker center. CASA also provides legal services such as citizenship classes, education, and social services, or the financial services that that a bill provides, right? Like the tax providing TIN numbers. And so it was good because we didn't just get people who use the worker center, but other Latinos who don't utilize the worker center. And then our key informants basically started from leads within CASA. And then from there, we had snowball referrals from the actual interview participants. So what's really nice, because this was a CBPR project, everything from the beginning was with CASA, like with Abdel and with his staff. And so we created this interview guide and focus group protocol that asked, it was in Spanish, what types of jobs Latinos do in Baltimore, the safety hazards they face, the illnesses and injury at work, their reporting practices, and not just injuries, but how do they report grievances at work, and specifically for the leaders, what is the political climate in Baltimore with regards to immigrant workers? And we also administered a brief demographics questionnaire to all the participants. So in terms of data collection, we collected this data mostly in the spring and the summer of 2011. We conducted 4 focus groups. Each focus group had about 4 to 5 participants. We had 9 in-depth interviews with the key informants. And we had, they were about 45 minutes to 90 minutes in length. Everything was audio recorded for later verbatim transcription in Spanish. And then I had the lovely job of translating it to English for our team. It's a lot of work. And what was really nice is that we felt that the staff at CASA should be the ones facilitating the focus groups because these people would have more trust, the participants would have more trust sharing with them their experiences. And if I was in the room to take notes, but I had been in CASA enough that it was nice to just to not facilitate the focus groups and have the community members actually do that. And there was a richer data because of that. And then in terms of analysis, we did a transcript-based thematic analysis. I'm trained in grounded theory and phenomenology, but because of the fact that we were trying to, our initial goal was to create a survey and then we'd administer it, not just to folks in the worker center, but people in day labor corners and other community-based organizations in Baltimore, we decided to do a thematic-based analysis to create a better survey with existing measures. But of course, we'll tell you in the end how that changed. We didn't actually make it to phase 2. We changed it to an intervention. And in terms of our analysis team, Abdel was part of our analysis team, and he represented community perspective. I was the methodological perspective, and then Jacqueline Agnew, who's the PI, has the occupational health expertise. So that was what our team consisted of to do the coding. And then when we finished doing the analysis, we presented the results, the preliminary thematic results, to both workers at the worker center, they didn't necessarily participate in the focus groups, and also leaders and higher staff in the higher levels of CASA than Maryland, to member check, right, to make sure that what we identified as a team was relevant and to the other people that weren't a part of the research team specifically. So of course, the focus groups, we had 18 people total, we had men and women, people had been in the U.S. longer than we had anticipated. 7 years was the medium. What was really interesting about this group is that most of the women had less than 8 years of education, and the men, only half of them had some high school. So they're a very low educated group, a lot of them with very limited literacy skills in Spanish. And the age, most of them, there was a large range, but the median was 35 years. And what's interesting is that Baltimore has a very heterogeneous Latino population. So we have people representing 6 different countries. And I worked in another study where it was similar results, but with a very large sample. It's very mixed. It's not just Mexicans, but a lot of Central Americans and South Americans. And in terms of the leaders, we had 4 folks that represented community. So that means people who work in community-based organizations, not necessarily related to labor, but in social services, education, health. We had 2 folks that represented the local government or the state-level occupational health or labor organizations, and we had 3 people in labor organizing or workers' rights who were interviewed. And the leaders, 2 of them weren't immigrants. The rest of them were Latino immigrants, but they had been in the U.S. longer, which would make sense. That means that they were more established immigrants who had later become leaders for the Latino community. Okay, so the occupational psychosocial stressors that we're going to discuss today in this particular presentation is anxiety. People talked about that they had a lot of anxiety to beat the deadline. There was a lot of pressure on them to finish the job. And then fear from threats. So people felt that their immigrant status was both a risk factor and a stressor at work because they were more susceptible, it made them more susceptible to economic wage fraud, threats of physical sexual assault, and also job termination. And then there was this other psychosocial stressor, but the fear surrounding immigrant enforcement policies, such as secure communities and ICE raids. And we'll go through those now.
So anxiety beat the deadline. I think for me as, one of the, working with these clients is very, just encouraging just to hear them actually be able to say it somewhere and be able to, them being able to express, for example, in beating the deadline, one of them said, well, now that what they're doing in construction is that they're pressuring us to so that we finish the job faster, and one works with tools that are very dangerous or that they are cutting, or for doing the job faster because of the boss's pressure, then you pressure yourself to, and there are many accidents. So, one of the things that, we saw is that when they go out to work, most of the employers provide the tools, but they're not, the best tools. They're just, they've been used a lot, they're not sharp, they're, anything, that's put together sometimes. So even the tools themselves are dangerous for them. And then added the pressure that they need to just kind of produce for them at such a fast rate and just, physical and, and someone's just on them all the time, It's one of the things that is really, really created one of the things that anxiety for them. The threat, assault, termination, one of, one day I woke up very bad and I went to, the boss and told him that, I didn't have the energy to work. He told me, you don't have the energy. Well, go to sleep and give the opportunity to another that will have the energy to work. Rest, he told me, take your vacation if you want. And that's how he responded. So it's very, the employers are very not sympathetic with folks, in terms of their physical need. They're just, for me, it's just kind of one of those things that dehumanizes people. Their basic needs of being able to rest, take care of themselves, it's just not met. It's just it's this pressure that folks have that I have to do this no matter what. They just kind of drag themselves into work. A lot of them with just the injuries that are produced at the job that they're at.
And one of the things that was interesting about the beating the deadline is that some of the workers were given bonuses. So on top of them having temporary jobs where they're not getting paid consistently on a biweekly basis, like some of us are lucky to be, they would be told, okay, if you finish this job within this week, you'll get a bonus. But that wasn't even guaranteed. So let's say they did beat the deadline and they got an injury and they continued working with the injury and then they didn't get the bonus. So there was, because they're temporary workers and they're often working like under the table, there was no guarantee that putting this pressure on themselves even gave them that bonus or the, the benefit of doing that. And then the last, the overall, what was really interesting is that beyond, they were really good at identifying environmental and physical risks and risk factors at work and hazards, but then people also mentioned what it was to be an immigrant. Like they felt that they were discriminated against or were more susceptible to not being given training at work or PPE because of the fact that they were immigrants and they were temporary workers. And in this quote, I think that this resonates really well with this is that, this person, she's Guatemalan, she's an older woman, and she's saying the dangers of injuring oneself, cutting oneself, or something falls on you, a board that hits you, a hammer, anything. And many times also what happens is that there are places where you go to work, for example, now for the snowstorms, and they go to work far away, and all of them were caught by immigration, and all are now in their countries. That is the other risk that we run. So they themselves, especially with the women, a little bit different with the women, they weren't just afraid of an ICE raid, but they were afraid of being separated from their children, that one day their children wouldn't have someone to pick them up from school. So they carry this anxiety and stress and fear at work, and they say that this makes them more susceptible to injury, that they make mistakes, they break a glass, then they hurt themselves, or they nail something on themselves. So I think it's really interesting how the workers were able to identify, as we'll see here, they talk about the labor market conditions, why they continue doing it, because they're unstably employed. There's no necessarily protection for them because they're often working with contractors or temporary agencies, so they're not directly protected from the, like, even though they're cleaning in the hotel at Hilton in Baltimore, they're not employed directly by Hilton. So they recognize that doesn't allow them same kind of safety training or PPE as permanent employees. And of course, as Abdel mentioned, there's a discourse of dehumanizing immigrant workers, particularly in this country, Latino-Latina immigrants. And of course, people do this, people put themselves at risk and knowingly do it because there's so much job insecurity. And particularly in Baltimore, there isn't a lot of steady work. And the organizational issues that the folks identified as leading to these psychosocial stressors is that they often don't know who's in charge. Like, if they're working for a contractor, they don't know who is the highest person in the hierarchy. And then on top of that, they have limited knowledge about, because they don't speak the language. So oftentimes, there's a lot of stratification that happens, even within our communities, among Latinos, where folks that speak English and have papers treat the ones that don't have papers or don't speak the language worse. And so they sense that there's this, there's this hierarchy even within the group, and then it manifests in the workplace. And then the thing that makes, I think, this work really different from a lot of the work that discusses, like, the relationship between organizational conditions and psychosocial stressors is that folks mention the regulatory aspects, right? The actual workers understood that, MOSH or Maryland Occupational Safety and Health Laws may not, apply, like, in a small place that we're working at for 2 or 3 days. There's a lack of workers enforcing workers' rights and the materials. I mean, these people had less, even in another study where I'm doing, where there's a larger sample size, the education of a lot of the Latinos in Baltimore is very low, and how dense the materials are, like the workers' rights and the labor and the reporting practices for work injuries in the state of Maryland, it's too complex for them. So they feel that it should be a lot simpler. And on top of that, I mean, we actually interviewed compliance managers or inspectors from the state of Maryland, and they said, we don't have enough compliance, like, officers. We don't have enough people to do site visits in temporary work sites or smaller work sites, so they focus on the larger companies. And then the added layer to this is immigrant enforcement policies and how people are conflating their workers' rights with their immigrant rights. Okay, so some of the limitations of our study is that we did a one-time cross-sectional study. It's a small sample size, and it reflects only the low-income Latino workers in Baltimore. But implications for research, to increase monitoring and enforcement of federal regulations for temporarily employed persons and those in service industries, to include safety training in the occupational and professional licensing programs for intermediaries or contractors. So some of the people, and even like the people that we interviewed in government were like, the contractors don't have enough training in safety. And so they don't really know that they should replicate this type of, safety environment at work. To ensure that Spanish language materials are elementary and accessible. And also, so now instead of doing this large survey that we wanted to do based on the qualitative study, CASA has agreed they're starting and implementing the safety backpack intervention because they felt that they would lose clients at the worker center or employers if they did a more structural intervention. So now they're piloting the effectiveness of providing PPE and safety training to the workers. But they're not just focusing on construction. They're doing a service backpack, so people who clean, and one backpack for manual laborers, and then one for construction workers. So they're going to test that out so that it reaches the diverse workforce that they have, men and women. Okay. Questions are for later. Thank you.